Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Thank you. Thank you. You can tell I'm really used to these lapel mics. let's start with Genesis 1:1-2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. In sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to Almighty God our brother, and we commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The Lord bless him and keep him. The Lord make his face shine upon him and be gracious unto him and give him peace. Amen. This last quote, although not from the Bible, it has a lot of scripture in it. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, "All go to the same place, all come from dust, and to dust all return." So, anyway, has everyone had a good week this week? Has it been good? I know John's been trying to work out my service plan and the songs I've been exploring. But I've had an interesting week as well, because I've been working. But the thing that stood out is a funeral I went to. This wasn't just any funeral, though. It was an African funeral.
Oh.
It was someone that had been coming to our church for the last few months. It was from Kenya. So it was an African funeral. And they went all out for it. Over 100 people squashed into our tiny little building. We were live streaming all over the world and to Kenya. They had a horse-drawn carriage, a solid oak casket. The funeral directors had to get extra people in to help lift it because of how heavy the casket was. And they also released doves at the graveside. And if that wasn't enough, then they had a wake back at our church. And we were told that there'd be a couple of singers doing some entertainment afterwards, and they'd use our piano. So absolutely fine. They turned up with great big huge amps, guitar amps, loads of guitars, drums and a keyboard. And the noise they were making, I mean, you would have thought they were trying to wake up the person that they had. It was a really nice celebration. But in reality, it wasn't all about the man that had died. It was about the God he had faithfully served. On his picture that they had at the front of like the program, it had a picture of him and it had a quote saying, "A life of service." And the things that people said about him, he was a servant of God. And this made me think on the way home, if this is the kind of party we're having for him, then imagine the party that's going on in heaven welcoming him home. So this man in the past, he'd been coming to our church for around 6 months or so, so we didn't know them too well, but we knew them and we knew part of what they stood for. But they'd been serving churches all around London, and eventually the driving had got They were like, let's find a church of our own. The thing that stuck with me when they first came, though, came to our church, was it was a similar feeling to that I've had about people I've met in my life that I know have a connection with God. People that are Bible scholars, but they don't just study the Bible. They live and experience the life that God has for them. And you could tell. So people like my gramps, he was a missionary in Kenya. Maria's grandpa, Stanley, that used to be here. And even David Saunders, that used to minister here. These people exuded the wisdom and knowledge of a life that has lived, that doesn't just know the word, but has lived the word. So, anyway, this led me to driving up to Chelmsford during the week to the grave of my grandparents, my gran and gramps. Gramps gets all the credit for them being a missionary, but my gran was right there with him and was as much a missionary and a servant to God as he was. So I go to see them. Every now and then I'll go up to the grave, and I know they're not there, okay? Maybe it's a memory of them that awakes when I'm there. Or maybe it's the peaceful environment around the cemetery. Either way, I find it a place I can find peace in all the busyness of life. And I can discuss with myself and with God life. It feels really odd sometimes. I chuckle to myself because I know that it's the place. It's they're not there. God is there, but they're not there. But it makes me feel so connected. So on my way home, on my drive home, I was pondering the question and talking to God about it. And those verses I quoted earlier, they came to mind. In the beginning, the word, dust to dust. You know, my grandparents, they weren't in those graves, but their bodies, or the dust of those bodies, were. Those bodies had lived, they'd been a vessel that had carried my grandparents throughout their life of Christian service. They weren't just ordinary bodies, they were bodies that had been born into a flawed race, but had been washed by the blood of Jesus. That dust wasn't just dust, it was covered with the blood of Jesus. The ground where I had been treading was holy ground because it was covered by the blood of Jesus. And this whole dust to dust stuff, this earth was created. It is a creation of the Most High. Not only was this dust that had been covered in the blood, redeemed in the blood, but it had also been created. There's a song by a band called 10th Avenue North called All the Earth is Holy Ground. Every single breath, every single sound, I can fill you with me now. Oh, what a mystery. Your life and breath alive inside of me, unworthy to be your own. Your mercy has remade this house I burned down to the grave. Your spirit filled my lungs. Now wherever I go, I bring the kingdom come. All the earth is holy ground. So this brings me to my message for this morning. Does anyone here remember the Looney Tunes? Yes, yes. There was a character in there called Yosemite Sam. Does anyone remember his saying, what he used to say? The one I'm thinking of is... Jumping Jehoshaphat. Jumping Jehoshaphat. That saying, it was first published by someone called Mayne Reid in 1865. But Jehoshaphat, he wasn't Yosemite Sam, he wasn't a Looney Tune. He was a king of Judah, long before Jesus, but after Moses, Joshua, and even David, after Israel had split into Israel and Judah. And the phrase jumping Jehoshaphat, although not recorded in the Bible, I've got a suggestion for you on the origin of the phrase from a Jewish scholar. Most of the kings of Judea and Israel were pretty rotten and evil. They practiced idolatry and so forth. Jehoshaphat was an exception and is praised as being one of the few kings of Judah who was close to Hashem, the Lord. One of the ways this was illustrated was, according to a Midrash commentary, when he would see or encounter a great Torah, the Bible of the day, or scholar or sage, he would jump off his throne to greet and honour the wise man. So that sounds like a cool option to go for where that phrase comes from. But it wasn't a saying that's recorded in scripture. So let's have a look at what it does say about Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles 17, 3 to 10, it says this. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the towns of Judah. With them were certain Levites, Shemaiah, Nathaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, and the priests Elishama and Jehoram. They taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord, and they went around to all the towns of Judah and taught the people. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah, so that they did not go to war against Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat, although not necessarily jumping, he knew the importance God had had on the lives of those who had gone before him. He knew his history, and he knew that what Israel was doing was wrong. He knew that what Judah was doing was wrong. So he turned the Judeans away from idolatry and renewed their understanding of the laws of God. And he took it throughout the kingdom. And he knew that to truly be God's people, they had to seek him and know him. So the primary reading for today, my scripture, is from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 30. This is a reading about the Moabites and Ammonites when they joined forces against Jehoshaphat, his nation, his God. So, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with some of the Midianites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazan Tamar, that is Engedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nation. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house.' and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. So now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of all your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benai, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up from the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army, and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked towards the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods and clothing and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. There were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berekah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Berekah to this day. When they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Oh, may God bless the word. Amen. A vast army was attacking them. One they knew they could not defeat. How many times have we felt like we're being attacked? Something that we can't overcome. So they didn't run. They didn't hide. They turned to God. And what God did was wipe them out. These people were afraid of what might become of them. But instead of running in fear, they turned to the Lord in prayer and fasting. They recognized who God was and who God still is. They had confirmation from God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and that confirmed they were the Lord's people and he was with them and no harm would come to them. And they believed it. They fell down in worship and praise. And they marched into battle in praise to their Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. If there's ever going to be an example of praise being a weapon, it's right there, isn't it? Because the battle was won before they'd even arrived. And all that was left was an amazing plunder. God had turned what was going to cause them harm to something good. So good, in fact, Judah had peace for many years. Well, until Jehoshaphat forgot and joined an evil Israelite king. But that's a story for another time. We need to let praise be our weapon. If we start with praise and remember what God has done for us, and let that be how we start each day, then let's see where he leads us and what victories and spoils of war he has for us. We need to give God the praise for what he's done. It would have been easy for Jehoshaphat to have claimed the victory as his, but he didn't. The book records it as God doing all the work. And when I mentioned the music at the wake earlier, it wasn't just music just to make noise, it was praise for the life that had served God. They were singing God's songs during it. Don't be afraid to ask and pray when you need it. Ask others to pray with you. The scripture says that all of them gathered, including the women and the children. Everyone was gathered. We need to ask people to pray with us. We also need to listen. We need to listen to our Jehaziels. Listen for the Spirit of God. And then when we hear something from him, we need to action on it. If he says, go there, then we go there. If he says, come here, then we come here. What's the point of being a church that preaches the word if you don't live the word? Peter Schmidt says, if we try to do the work of God in our own strength, we'll never move anything. We need the help of the Spirit of God. And that's what we need to do. That's what Jehoshaphat gives us an example of. That's what my grandparents gave me an example of. It's what Maria's grandpa gave her an example of. It's what David Saunders gave as an example here. It's what that man's funeral that I went to on Tuesday, that's what he gave an example of. A life lived to serve. So our job is easy. It's literally to ask. Remember what God's done for us, for others. We need to praise for what he's done. We need to listen and we need to worship. We need to praise on the way to challenges and trials. We need to turn up when he tells us to turn up, and we need to be willing to collect the reward. We need to harvest the field. And we're followers of Jesus, and so that's what he's asked us to do, isn't it? In the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The Judeans needed to collect the spoils of war. Maybe this Great Commission is our fight.
maybe this is our fight. It says at the end of that passage, and surely I'm with you always. So Jesus is with us through it all. So Jehoshaphat and his people worshipped. They built their lifestyle around the word of God and following the ways he had set out for them. They went to him in trouble. They went to him in victory. And they worshipped because they knew he was their God and he would lead them through even the toughest of battles with the toughest of odds. If we become a church that is truly surrendered to the will of God, following the examples in Scripture, the example of those who have gone before us, then only God knows where it could take us individually, as a group of like-minded people and as a church. I don't know if anyone's been watching the David series on Prime, on Amazon Prime. I don't know, I'd advocate it as something that's 100% scripture. They've based it on scripture. But something it shows is the difference between someone that worshipped and gave God all the glory as David did, because he knew God was on his side. However, whenever Saul had a victory, was his victory. It wasn't God's victory. And it gives a really good example on that TV program that if we let God take command, if we're surrendered to him and his ways, as we saw what happened with Jehoshaphat, and as we know what happened, if you know the story of David, you know what happened with him. God can create ways where there is no way. He can bring light to the darkest of places, and he can bring healing to the most desperate of circumstances. If we surrender, he is a way maker. So I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to take up an orange. Take up an orange. A long time ago, a youth camp far, far away in the galaxy, well, this galaxy actually, they explained how you can admire an orange. Okay, that's a very orangey orange, isn't it? You can peel the orange. Look at that. You can smell the orange. You can smell the orange. But unless you actually take a bite out of it, then you're just admiring it. You're just looking at it. If we don't eat it, you don't get to experience its goodness. As Maria was saying earlier about the fruits of the Spirit, you can know about them, you can see them, but unless you take them, then they're of no good to you. And in fact, oranges go moldy if you don't eat them. So don't let our faith go moldy. If our faith is just something we study and look at without experience, without worshipping, then this is all we will ever be. We will never see the move of the Spirit, churches grow, people coming to faith. If we don't move in our faith, we may as well just be looking at a painting in a gallery. So my challenge today is, do you want to surrender to Jesus and let him have the victory in your life? Do you want to be guided by him? Do you want to learn from him? And do you want to jump like Jehoshaphat and give your all to your God? So if you do, let's march. The next song we've got is, In Heaven the Armor Will Enter the Land. The battle belongs to our God. So I want to encourage you this morning, if that's what you want, if that's how you want to be, if you want to surrender completely to Jesus and you actually want to take a bite, if you actually want to eat from the Word, then let's do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the stories in your Word. The stories like how Jehoshaphat
was, how he connected to you he was. We pray that
we would be like that, Lord. We pray that we would turn to you in times of trouble. We pray that we would look to you and have faith that you know what you're doing, Lord, and that we just need to trust you and follow you. We know that the battle belongs to you. And so we give you glory, honor, power and praise, Lord. Power and strength to our God. Pray you be with us all in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for that reminder. The battle isn't ours, it's yours. And you have declared you have won the victory there at Calvary. There's nothing of us that wins the battle other than obedience to you and accepting you to be our Lord and Saviour. And Father, we ask that you would part us with your blessing, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that you would abide with us and remain with us till we meet again or till you call us home. But Lord, take this word and write it upon our hearts. Help us to continue to consider it through the week. Lord, we thank you for that Phil has shared of that saint gone home and the rejoicing. And the experience, Lord, you give us each week, each day, experiences, the visiting of a grave, an opportunity to remember and to reflect. Lord, you give us all sorts of things through the week. For me this morning, the dropping of a dust cap of a car onto my carpet and having to find it. The carpet was a dark brown, the cap black, and finding it was not easy. I had to search for it. Lord, there are times we have to search for your way. Help us to do that. Help us to be diligent. As we continue together now, as we part later, we ask your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I'm sorry.